I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. FX has another great show on their hands in the new boxing drama, Lights Out. The show stars veteran character actor Holt McElhinney as Patrick Lights Leary, an aging former heavyweight champion of the world. I had a chance to speak with Holt and executive producer Warren Leet on a conference call where they talked about the show, his training regimen, and his advice to actors. This site takes a lot of work, so I really appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Holt and Warren.
I also greatly enjoyed Stacey Keach. He's just, he's just one of those iconic veteran actors that's been, in so many things, but he's so good. And I'm so glad that you utilized him as your father, as the patriarch of the Leary family, and I was wondering if you could talk of any anecdotes about Stacey. I know he's funny. If you had any great anecdotes about Stacey.
You first, Holt? I have one, but you first, Holt.
Oh, you know, I mean, you know, April, what I would say to you is this, and Warren knows that I feel this way. You know, they could have searched for 12 centuries and never found a better choice to play my father than Stacey. I have such tremendous admiration for him. First of all, he's a consummate actor who has really done everything that you can do as an actor, from, you know, memorable film roles to, you know, an extensive, you know, stage career on Broadway and in the West End of London, and he played King Lear, and, I mean, and he carried his own series, and he's just done everything.
And he's booked cheesy work when he had to, too. I mean, he's had a real actor's life.
Right, yeah, no.
And
that's what I mean when I say that he's the real McCoy, you know. I mean, he's had his ups and his downs, you know, but, you know, it goes a lot further than us just kind of, you know, looking similarly physically. You know, I think we think similarly, and we see the world similarly, and, you know, so there's a tremendous kind of bond between us and an unspoken communication that was there right from the beginning. So I really like this guy personally, tremendously, and I respect him, and, you know, and I learn from him every time, you know, we work together.
I thought he was the show's patriarch in a lot of ways, and it was kind of, every actor looked forward to a scene with Stacey, and everyone, almost, you know, a lot of people had, in some ways, each of them had a special scene with Stacey that's one of their best moments of the year. He's one of those guys. I remember the last day we were shooting at Hellgate Studios, which is an aptly named studio at the base of the Triborough Bridge in Queens, and it was, Stacey's call time was 3 a.m. Saturday, because we had lost control of the week. It was the finale, and the schedule had slipped. That's never a good sign when you're calling someone to work at 3 a.m., and it was 95 degrees. We had no air conditioning in that gym, and there's flies all over the place. It's just it's basically saying come to purgatory for the night. And his back was out because the preceding 3 days we'd been doing fight scenes, and it was a lot of motion and movement. And he was supposed to do a scene where he was shadow boxing in the ring with Holt, father and son, doing a little shadow boxing moment. And he could barely move. And I just said, look, Stacey, we'll do something else. We can read. And he goes, well, let me give it a try. And now it's hard, but he has to be assisted. It was just a bad, tough night. He gets into the ring. Norberto Barba, the director, yells action, and he stands himself up with great effort and then starts shadow boxing like he's 29. And Norberto yells cut. And so in that moment, he was no longer in pain. He was no longer our patriarch. He was like he was in Fat City. And Norberto yelled cut. And it clearly had taken everything out of him. And Norberto, of course, being a classic director, wants like six more takes. One more Norberto. But when you yell action, everything else goes away, and he's the most present actor you've ever worked with. And he's just a delight. And also, when he came in to audition, Holt later told me, he whispers to Holt, which is the guy I have to play to? He's still worried about getting a job, which is almost obscene at this point. But he's a lifer, and that, I think he really set a tone for all the other actors. And Elizabeth Moss, every actor said, "Wow, you can learn so much from him." Or this guy's had the life. He also knew just about every actor or actress who came to our set, he had done a play with, a movie with, a TV show with, or had slept with. He was just a very social guy, I guess. Is that about right, Hope?
It is, and just to add something to what Warren just said, you know, he talked about him being one of the most present actors that you'll ever meet. You know, he's also, and this is something that I really admire about Stacey, he's also one of the most economical. You know, he does exactly what you need to do, and it's very clear. And it's very precise, and there isn't a lot of unnecessary extraneous stuff going on. He's right there with you, and you know, and he looks you right in the eyes, and he connects with you, and you know, all of that wealth of experience that he has, and you know, from his life, and all of the intelligence that he has. I mean, the character is invested with all of that. So you just look at him, and you're right there in the moment with him.
Your show is so incredibly well cast. The leads are all uniformly excellent. The kids are great. The antagonists are wonderful. But I'm really wondering, how did you come to cast Ryan Shane? Daniela is such a complex supporting character, and she is so brilliant in the role.
I think she's stunning, and I had nothing to do with casting her. I don't know if you... It's a little arcane, but there was an original pilot shot in April of 2009. Hope basically made this series undeniable. I think, you know, they FX saw Hope's performance, and though there were other problems with the pilot, they just thought we have to keep going. So I was brought in, and I retooled things, and we reshot 75% of the pilot in March of 2010. Almost every adult recurring actor we recast, except we kept Holt, and we kept the three daughters, and I just didn't think we could do better than them. And she's great. And she's remarkable because she can, you know, she's doing scenes with some heavyweights, well, you know, literally and figuratively, and she's a pro. You know, she's going to go to be a freshman at college this fall, and she was holding her own with people with 50 years of acting experience on her. And I can't say enough about her. And I wrote her a college recommendation. I mean, you know, she was just like one of the most oddly her talent for her age is kind of it's natural. You know, she's not overly. She hasn't been overly prepped for it, I don't think, Holt. But I just found her in the moment. And, you know, this is one of those shows where that was, because of the speed with which we shoot it and the speed with which we were rewriting and all that, the actors have to be ready and game and ready to make changes and be in the moment. They can't. And she's just a natural. I think, you know, I'm knocked out by her.
Excellent. She's...
I agree with Warren completely. You know, she is a knockout on screen and off. She's one of the sweetest, most intelligent, and charming young ladies that I've ever met in my life. She makes me hope that if I'm ever lucky enough to be a father in real life, that I could have a daughter like Ryan. I mean, I just adore her.
But the bad news is I don't know how she got hired because that was before my time. But she was one person we had to keep, and I'm glad that we did.
Holt, how did you get involved, and what was it about the role that said, I must do this?
Well, you know, I mean, I had always wanted to play boxer all of my life, and, you know, I grew up watching great boxing films, you know, obviously, like, you know, the ones that you would think, you know, Raging Bull and Rocky and Body and Soul and Fat City, and more obscure movies, like I love a movie called The Setup by Robert Wise. And, you know, and even more recent things, you know, Cinderella Man, which, frankly, before it ever got made, you know, was a script that had existed around Hollywood for a number of years, and it got sent to me at one point, and I was like, oh, my God, this is a really, really good movie. But, you know, it's hard, you know, if you're not a big movie star, you know, to get... To get the lead in a really great, you know, project. I mean, I take my hat off to my friend Mark Wahlberg, because I know that it took him a long time to make The Fighter, and he overcame a lot of obstacles to do it, and now the film is an unqualified success, and I'm really happy for Mark. But you know, you wonder, like, you know, will I ever have my opportunity, you know, to realize a dream like that? And that's kind of what Lights Out was like for me. You know, from the first time I read it, I understood very clearly that this was not just kind of a part on a TV show, that this was an opportunity to do something very special. This was one of those tour de force parts that very, very rarely comes along, and that it was also in a milieu that I love, in a world that I love, and in a world that I had spent time in. I had done a couple of boxing films, and I had been interested in the sport all my life. And I had boxed recreationally, you know, from the time I was a boy. So for a lot of reasons, my passion for it and my background, I felt like I was the right guy for this part. But, you know, me feeling that way, and the studio and the network feeling that way, are not always going to be the same thing. I was really lucky on this occasion, really, really lucky, that, you know, I happened, you know, to become, you know, the choice, you know, for the men who, you know, who make those decisions. You know, they showed, they took a chance with me, and showed a lot of confidence in me, and, you know, gave me the best opportunity that I've ever had. And, you know, I literally thank my lucky stars the day that I was chosen for this part.
Hulk, I saw you did some co-writing in the past. Did you contribute at all to this script?
No, you know, I mean, occasionally I will, you know, come, you know, to Warren and, you know, express an idea, you know, and stuff, and you know, or you know, make a request about, you know, maybe. Sometimes, you know, when we're working on, you know, one of the fight sequences or something, you know what I mean? Would it be okay if we did this, or we did, you know, something like that, and we'll you know, work on stuff in the gym, and then go and present it, you know, to Warren and to the director and the other writers and stuff. But no, mostly I show up, and you know, when you know, the greatest gift that an actor can have is scripts, because then you know, you're relieved of the responsibility of trying to elevate the material. It's already elevated, and you can focus on what you need to do, you know. And that's a position that I was in. I was blessed with great writers, Warren and also the guys on his team. And so, you know, I just showed up and did it, and you know, it always seemed to fit.
We did lean heavily. First of all, you always it's a good writing team. We had Brian Golubov, who'd done Basketball Diaries, that movie. We had Carter Harris, who'd been on Friday Night Lights. Robin Veith from Mad Men. Stu Zickerman, who had done Six Degrees of Separation, that show. So Six Degrees, I guess it was called. So it was a good, smart room. But we leaned. Well, it was also people who'd worked with actors often enough to know that you pay attention to them, you figure out what's working for them, and you know, even if Holt's nature, like Stacy's, is to try to make any, they'll make a typo work if they can. So you'd have to try and see if something was bugging them and ferret it out. But he knew his character, and we relied on that. And then where we really relied on Holt was when we would choreograph these boxing matches. I mean, we're trying to do those on weekends at Gleason's gym, and we might have a storyline for the fight, an idea for the fights, but I don't think we would have made it through. And we also relied on Teddy Atlas, who is a boxing consultant to the show and a good friend of Holt's, and fight coordinator Bobby Beckles. But Holt really knew the story of those fights. Those are, I'd say, co-written by Holt. It's a funny thing to think about a fight being written, but they are. So.
My question for Holt, after all the training you had to endure to believably play this part, has the physicality of the role been more demanding than you anticipated? And how many more fights do you think Patrick Leary has left in him?
Well, you know, it's great. It's a great question, Michael. You know, I would, first of all, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was down in Puerto Rico, just doing some promotion for the show for the Latin market, because the Puerto Ricans are big boxing fans. And you know, I went to the premiere of The Fighter with the whole Puerto Rican boxing team and stuff like this. And you know, and we were talking about this very question, because a couple of nights earlier, Bernard Hopkins had fought at 46 years old for the light heavyweight championship of the world. And, you know, he clearly won the fight. You know, they called it a draw in one of those terrible, you know, hometown decisions. But, you know, the truth is that there are guys, you know, who are able to do it. You know, Evander Holyfield has an upcoming pay-per-view fight. You know, he's in his 40s. You know, it's you know, it really depends on the guy. You know, I feel good. I feel strong. I'm in great shape. I would say that, you know, the wonderful thing, one of the really special gifts about playing an athlete is that, you know, it's the best motivation you'll ever have to get in top shape and stay in top shape, because you know that, you know, you're going to be expected, you know, to deliver. I mean, you know, boxing is a place where if you haven't done the training, that's going to be exposed very quickly. And so, you know, I'm really, really happy, you know, that, you know, I mean, in a world where we get to go on and continue, you know, to make our show, you know, in a second season and potentially beyond, I think it's really, really great that I'm getting to play a world champion athlete, because, you know, it's just gonna keep me in that place where you think like a boxer and you behave like a boxer. You try to live your life that way, being in the gym all the time, being careful to push the plate away at the dinner table. You don't need dessert, you know. And you know, when you're out having fun, you know, maybe you ask for agua instead of vodka. You know, very important. And so, you know, how many more, you know, how many more fights can I have? I think I got a lot of fights left in me. But that'll be for Warren and the writers to decide.
Holt, obviously, to get ready for a role like this, the boxing end of things, you got to get in the gym and do it. But
right.
I think you captured, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the stuff that goes on in the gyms that we may not see, you know, showing up in the newspaper the next day. What's the research involved for you to get to that point where you've got the trust of these guys in the gym and they're telling you their stories, and then you, you know, put it out to the world and lights out?
Well, you know, I think that, yeah, as I've said before in a couple of interviews, you know, if you're gonna walk out in front of the cameras, in front of millions of people, and you're gonna play the heavyweight champion of the world, you got to ask yourself, you know, what did you ever do in your life that you should be permitted to have that honor? You know, why should people believe you? Why should you, you know, be considered credible? There are actors that have played world champion fighters and have done it very successfully. We talked about a couple of those films. Obviously, Robert De Niro did, you know, played a world champion fighter very successfully. I think Sylvester Stallone played it very successfully. And, you know, I think my friend Mark Wahlberg did it successfully. You know, so, you know, you have to be, you're trying to find your way into that pantheon of guys. So, you know, inevitably, every actor's journey is going to be a little bit different. Inevitably, it's going to involve a lot of boxing. And for me, you know, my thing was like, look, I'm going to try and spend my time and get my training from the absolute best guys that are available. So, for example, you know, for the pilot, I trained with my friend Teddy Atlas, whom I had played in a movie for HBO back in the 90s called Tyson, about Mike Tyson. And, you know, Teddy's one of the best trainers in America. And then later on, when it time for the series to go into production, Teddy was going back and forth to Russia training an undefeated Russian gold medalist named Sasha Alexander Povetkin, who I think is currently ranked number three by Ring Magazine. And, you know, and so I went to Gleason's gym. I started training with former welterweight champion Mark Breland. And he's obviously one of the greatest amateur fighters of all time, five-time Golden Glove champion. He was 110 victories, only one to beat. You know, and I really tried, I really tried to train hard, train, with, as much, as earnestly and with and with humility, and really give 110% every day in the gym. And when you do that, what you find about the boxing community is that they'll embrace you.
Right.
You know, it's not like trying to gain access to the NBA. It's a different landscape.
Yep.
And you can kind of walk in, and they sort of like look at you, and they kind of take your measure, and they kind of decide how they feel about you, and if they like you, and they feel like you have the right attitude, and your heart's in the right place, and they see how hard you're working, they open up to you, and I learned an awful lot from those guys that I just mentioned, and from I could give you a list of other guys too that I learned a lot from.
How important was it for you to, not make lights to be Superman? That he was, yes, he was a great athlete, great champion, but he was also human. Because a lot of people think these guys, shoot out of the sky and they are who they are and they're Superman and they're not fallible and the whole thing. How important was it for you to get across that these guys are human as well?
Yeah, it's a great question. You have to look at, you're trying to create a character. You're trying to develop an identity as a fighter inside the ring, but also outside the ring. Who is this character, and how does that inform how he does what he does? There's no point in my trying to emulate Floyd Mayweather. I'm not Floyd Mayweather. I'm not going to look like Floyd Mayweather, and so it would be preposterous for me to make any kind of an effort in that area. Who are the guys who have my physicality, who I can emulate, who I can look at and maybe take something from their fighting style? Maybe I'll take something from Jerry Quarry. I'll take something from Jerry Cooney. I'll take something from Jeff Harding. I'll take something from Doug DeWitt. I'll take something from my friend John Duddy. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I start to, you're watching tapes and you're kind of like, becoming a student of the sport, a historian of the sport, and trying to combine certain elements and find things in the gym and what works for me. What kind of a guy is he? Is he a pressure fighter who comes across the ring, who tries to cut the ring off, tries to trap you in the corner, throws a lot of body? Who is the guy? And why does he fight the way that he fights? And you have to really, you have to really think about these things, and you have to look at a lot of guys. And then slowly you start to realize, okay, here's a style that works for me, that complements my physicality, that's going to be believable, but also be compelling for the audience and for the camera.
Now, Holt, can you share any stories from the set and perhaps elaborate a bit on your fight scenes with Seth Reynolds?
Sure. First of all, if you allow me to sing the praises of my co-star Billy Brown for a moment, I got to tell you that I don't think I've ever been more impressed by another actor than I am by Billy. This guy really, really worked hard, and it was hard work. As Warren said, we work on the weekends. We spend a lot of time trying to choreograph the fight scenes as meticulously as we can, because you can improvise a dialogue scene if you have to, but you can't improvise fight choreography, because first of all, somebody will get hurt. Secondly, it won't be any good. work hard. And Billy is just, first, he's a great athlete, and he has a great attitude. And, you know, he's willing to go the extra mile. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't complain when he gets hit. That happens. You know, he'll go round after round after round after round. He'll rehearse for 9 hours up in the ring if you ask him to. I just had a great experience with Billy Brown. And
he's also a beautiful actor, which is, you just, it's where we got lucky with Holt. And with Billy, and with Gavin, who plays Morales, and with the guy who plays Pedro for us, Omar, Pedro, what was it? Pedro Pascal, right? We were able to find, and it's a tricky little subset, you know, are they boxers who can act, or actors who can box, or something, but we were able to find guys who had a believable physicality, but could also play real characters, and we really got lucky. Plus, Billy, you know, that physique is just sort of unnecessary, I think. It just sort of cast a pall over all the other men in the show. But the guy's a remarkable athlete, and he had not spent years boxing, and he figured it out for the show. He obviously arrived in decent shape, Hope, I think you'd say that. But
oh no, I mean the guy is he's a tremendous physical specimen. He looks, you know, he's like an Adonis. But Warren just said a very interesting thing. This is, you know, Billy, unlike some of the other guys that we had at various times, didn't have a big boxing background, but he really dived into it and dedicated himself to it and spent a lot of time in the gym. And I hooked him up with some trainers in L.A. that I had worked with, and he worked with them very, very diligently. And then he continued that training actually with one of the guys from Gleason's, Harry Kite. And, and he just worked really, really hard. And his natural athleticism in combination with, you know, his dedication, you know, it all came together for him, and he was great.
And we tend to shoot these fight scenes in a day or 2 days tops, while we're picking up all kinds of other scenes. It's not the one of the many reasons nobody's ever tried to do a boxing, or I guess there have been a few attempts at boxing TV shows, but one of the things that makes it harder is we're shooting the episode in 7 days, whether or not there's a big boxing match. And, you know, fight movies, I imagine Raging Bull had a little more time to plan out their fights and to do their choreography and their editing. These guys would put in a 16-hour day in the ring, because, you know, we would go to actual, we went to NASA Coliseum one day, you go to actual venues, but you can't really afford to rent them for a week, and our budget doesn't allow spending a week shooting a few scenes for an episode. So these guys would have to get it all done in one day while doing other scenes, while getting prosthetics attached and stuff. And it just kind of, I remember at the end of one 14-hour day, we went and then turned around the camera to get the audience reaction shots of the fight. And Holt stayed in the ring and continued to mime the fight blow for blow so that the audience members, his wife, Bill Irwin, the different characters, knew what they were watching and where to look. And I thought that was actually almost insane. But he was, you know, he wasn't going to... The courtesy is when they turn the camera around, you stay and give the other actor your lines. In this case, Holt stayed and gave the other characters his the entire fight over and over and over again. So, you know, he does have the heart of a warrior. It helps.
Wow.
Thank you,
Warren.
That's nice.
Can you talk about preparation that it took to get Lights Out off the ground?
Well, you know, it was a very, very slow takeoff. The executive producer, Ross Feynman, F-I-N-E-M-A-N, had this idea, I don't know how long ago, maybe 4 years ago. And he took it to Fox Studio, FTVS, Fox Studios, and they liked it. Script was commissioned. I think the script read well. It was turned into a pilot. The pilot didn't really work. At that point, a lot of studios, or certainly the networks, they're done. You know, pilot's not clicking. They've put some money down, and you don't put good money after bad. And John Landgraf, to his credit and to my luck and Holt's luck, realized how good this character was and how good Holt was in this part, And he basically doubled down at the point when most people walk away. And he gave me a chance to do some rewrites on the pilot and come up with a second episode. And then he made the next, he doubled down again and he said, okay, let's just go straight to series. So I guess, Holt, you must have been cast in, what, January of 2009? Does that sound right?
Yeah, something like that, you know, and just to exactly, Warren, and just to follow up very briefly on something that Warren just said, you know, there's a reason that FX has done so many special shows, and that they have the track record that they have, and it's because you know, I think it's because of John and his team, and you know, their instinct for material. You know, to be very, very honest, I'm not even sure that I could have ever been cast if this had been at another network. You know, they likely would have gone with somebody who had already had a hit show, or somebody who had just been in a big movie that made a lot of money. But you know, at FX, they were willing to take a chance on somebody that had some experience, but was still a relative unknown, because they felt like, you know, he was the guy that gave the best audition. It's very rarely the case.
It's a strange company. They took me coming off of In Treatment, because I had so I don't know how they arrive at their decisions, but In Treatment is not a natural setup to taking over this show. And they had just very supportive guys. We began shooting the pilot in March. We shot the entire series straight through from March to mid-July of 2010. And then there was, you know, another long wait because things had taken so long. The next open production slot was this one. So it's been good for character building. It's just been a slow and steady takeoff to get this thing off the ground.
In the spirit of the underdog, I've always looked at your work in films, Holt, as like, is this guy one of those great character actors, or is he going to get his chance to be a leading man? At least something that gets a high profile. And I wasn't sure, because you are very good with limited screen time. You do a very good job of sticking out. But it was awesome to see you get this opportunity and just jump with it. What was it like knowing that you're in almost every scene? You're front and center, and this is a different world for you.
You know what? It sure is. And you know, as awesome as it may be for everyone else, it's more awesome for me. I can promise you. I can promise you that. Having had both experiences, having had the limited screen time, and you know, and having, you know, lots of additional screen time, I can tell you that I prefer the latter. And don't get me wrong. You know, I'm grateful for all of those opportunities that I had as I was, you know, coming up in the business and learning my craft, and you know, and working with you know, great directors like David Fincher and David O. Russell and Lawrence Kasdan and Brian De Palma, and a lot of guys that I worked with that are really talented who recognized something you know, in me. But you know, people need to get a marquee name to sell their movie. So often you find yourself in supporting roles behind, you know, Brad Pitt or George Clooney or Robert De Niro, whoever it may be, you know. And I'm really, you know, really, really glad that I had those experiences, because I learned so much, and I feel like it made me ready when I finally had the opportunity to have more responsibility. You know, maybe if this opportunity had come earlier in my career, I don't know, it might have worked out differently. I was really ready for this. And, you know, what can I tell you, man? I hope I'm going to get to play this part for a long time. And you know, I hope that that it will ultimately, down the road, you know, lead to other great parts. I'm never going to turn my nose up at working with, you know, those directors that I just mentioned, or other people that I've worked with like that. But maybe in the future, after this, they'll be more comfortable offering me, you know, bigger parts, you know, and just saying, hey, look, you know. You know, Holt has graduated.
Holt, I have a question for you. When you're working on the set for like 12, 15 hours a day and you're tired, how difficult is it to keep in shape?
It's a real challenge. It's a real challenge. What you have to do is you have to try to live a kind of a Spartan existence. And, you know, you're going primarily from the set to your house, and the only place that you go, you know, other than that is to the gym. So you literally eliminate all of your, you know, social activities of any kind, and you only do the things that are directly related to the job at hand. There's no time for anything else. And people that are your friends or your family, they just have to understand that you will see them in August after you've wrapped. Because if I do have additional time, I'm going to use that to try and stay in shape. Because, you know, if you're going to play a champion athlete, you know, people expect you to look a certain way. And, you know, and also, you know, you have to have the kind of stamina, you know, to be able to continue to perform. And we did a lot of boxing on our show, you know, not just the big fights, but we have a lot of scenes where they're either sparring sequences or different kinds of training sequences, you know, running and different, you know, so in virtually every episode, you know, there's different physical stuff that you're doing. So you have to always be thinking, what can I do to stay in top shape? And what are the things that, you know, that I need to sacrifice because they won't help me stay in top shape?
What's your advice to actors? I mean, Holt, you've been kicking around for a while, and you're awesome in this part. A little tidbit of information you'd give to actors?
Well, you know, I can answer this question very, very succinctly. I think, you know, my first acting teacher in New York, whom I still study with sometimes, is a very talented guy named Harold Guskin, who's also James Gandolfini's acting teacher, and Glenn Close, and Kevin Kline, and, you know, the list goes on and on. I mean, really, really gifted people that he works with. And I remember my very first day studying with Harold, he said, "I'm going to tell you two things today. And if you remember these two things for the rest of your career, these things will help you very much." I said, "Okay." He said, "The first one is this: talent will win out in the end. You have to believe that." You know, Orson Welles used to talk about that. An actor has to be an optimist. An actor has to have hope. Because if you sit around contemplating the odds against you, and how the union has 95% unemployment, if you start thinking about those things, you're dead. Because, you know, you're gonna undermine your self-confidence, and I think it's largely about confidence and about believing in yourself and about believing that you will get an opportunity. And the last thing that he said was, he said, don't worry about being in with the in crowd. Just the fact that you do what you do, if you do it well, puts you in. So it's not about, you know, making sure that you show up at the right parties or that you, you know, shake the right hands at premieres. It's about doing everything that you can do to be the best actor that you can be. And if you do that, then you've got a chance.
Thanks, Holt and Warren, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, columns, and resources. Thanks again for supporting our advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.